Thank you, Desiree. Hi, everyone. My name is Julie. I'm an alcoholic and grateful to be here. It's a little after 9 a.m. in Seattle, Washington. I see people from all over the globe here. So, whatever time it is, wherever you are, I hope you've had your quiet time already this morning. But I'm here to share my experience, strength, and hope on step 11. It was funny when I was asked, I wrote back, when I was given my step assignment, I wrote, "I love that step." And then I wrote back, "Wait a minute, I love all the steps." Because step 11 for me can't be practiced really in earnest unless I've worked the first, 1 through 10. And I love that in our 12 and 12, it talks about how prayer, inventory, prayer, and meditation, the three, the tri-legged stool, right, is what does it say? Creates an unshakable foundation that can weather any storm. So I just wanted to start with that. I appreciate Andy for putting up a quote, direct from the big book, page 87. I have it open here in front of me. I didn't tell him to put that up there. Maybe that was one of my assignments, was to give you a quote, but you picked something literally from, the book I have open in front of me. The lines I was looking at here were more of a promise than a directive. I love this. We relax and take it easy. We don't struggle. We relax, we take it easy. We don't struggle. In a nutshell, that is my meditation. And let me tell you a little about myself so you know what a miracle it is that I can relax and not struggle, because that is not my nature. Let me give you my little sober stats first. I've been sober for 36 years. My sobriety date is August 5th of 1987. I got sober in New York, upstate New York. In my sobriety, I've lived in New York, California, Iowa, Arkansas, Michigan. I'm in Washington, so I've done sobriety all over the country, in all different kinds of groups, different home groups, and always sponsored and always sponsoring and always of service. And it's been strange and different and wild, and it's been an amazing ride. And meditation, similarly, well, let me finish with my stats. My home group in Seattle is the Empire Way Group, and we meet Mondays and Wednesdays at 7:30 Pacific, in person. So if you're ever in town, you can find me there. And I have a sponsor who I've been working with for well over a decade, in Los Angeles. She's in LA, and I have my regular call times, and I'm really current with her. And I sponsor a good many people who are the light, who absolutely the light and center of my program is the work that I get to do with others. And I have a big full life today. I got sober really young. I was essentially homeless. My parents had signed me over to the state of New York as a direct result of my drinking. So I spent my, like, really my drinking, the depth of my drinking years in and out of detention, foster care, sometimes home placement, and treatment centers. And I eventually wandered into Alcoholics Anonymous, not from an institution, but on my own when I had my last debilitating drunk, that really proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that even though I was young and hadn't drank for all that long, that I knew I was unmanageable, but I had to prove the powerlessness. And I share all that to say that I needed to have an honest first step to really have an honest second step, which really propelled me into step three, which is essentially where my ability to meditate starts, right? My ability to meditate, my ability to go to my higher power, in surrender, starts with step one. In Alcoholics Anonymous, in my journey here, my journey in sobriety, it started with, surrender around alcohol. Today, I often am in step one around what you're doing or not doing, what's happening, in the world. What's happening in government, what's happening in my family, what's happening in my kids' lives. It's my just what's happening between my ears. There's a lot of surrender involved in engaging the steps. It all starts with step one. And when I'm done massaging my thoughts and figuring out what's best for the world and for me and for you, I surrender. God, I believe in my heart of hearts that I have employed a higher power that can absolutely restore me to sanity. And as such, I affirm that my will and my life is squarely in God's hands. And, step 10 is really a mini 4 through 9, and done with regularity every single day as willing as I am to engage it. So, when I first got sober, my parents let me stay with them for a little bit and then still didn't want me in their home. So I've essentially been on my own. I've been on my own for a really long time. And I don't say on my own. I've had to take care of my living arrangements for a very long time, even before I was old enough to sign a lease. But I haven't been on my own because the awareness of the presence of my higher power throughout my life has revealed itself through working the steps. And my aloneness immediately ended the moment I walked into AA August 5th of 1987. I had been many times before, but when I walked in and really surrendered to you and said, "I'm done fighting, I'll do whatever you say." Nobody sent me. It wasn't about the judge and it wasn't about the treatment center and coming in the van and all of that. When I finally came, I didn't have to be alone anymore. And I remember one of my early meetings that I did service at, there was a guy there who used to say, "The 11th step is the only step that we get to work out of order because you can meditate anytime." That's good. That's good. Now I didn't know how to do it because my head was way busier then than it is now. And it's still getting kind of busy today. But my journey with my higher power has been really remarkable, and it has set me up to be able to form a relationship that I believe is a promise come true, that promise of building that unshakable foundation that can weather any storm. And I think I started this journey of meditation, I mean, we saw it through prayer and meditation. So, I mean, I keep focusing on meditation, but it's really a reciprocal relationship that when I was newer, was a lot more prayer heavy than it was listening heavy because I just didn't know how to listen. So, my first prayers were really like, "If you're there, please help me. I dare you. I dare you to prove it." But I believe my experience has been that God has met every single prayer wherever I've uttered it, in whatever place or space, whatever level of faith I have in the moment. And sometimes that feels like none at all. And sometimes that feels like, just really deep, profound love, with my higher power. For my higher power and from my higher power, who I call God. So I'm going to use God. And if you don't use God, I hope that you can translate to whatever name it is that you call your higher power. I also going to just share the disclaimer that my experience is that for me, and this, I don't speak for AA and I don't speak for anybody else, but for me, my relationship with a God, I have to have a God that is manifest. For me, quiet time has to be, I need to be in relationship with a higher power. And so I have essentially a concept of a providential God that loves me and cares for me and is a shelter in the storm of life. And the storm of life often, presents itself again in my thinking. I can have a perfectly fine day ahead of me and be threatened and overcome by the anxious apartness that is described in alcoholism, by my restlessness, my irritability, my discontentedness, all of this, all of these, what I think in the big book, were described as, examples are described as having a nervous disposition. The big book essentially tells us that we're anxious and depressed. They use different words than we use today. We use, I have anxiety and I'm really depressed. And, the big book calls it restless. irritable, discontent, nervous disposition, anxious apartness, all of that. So, like, I'm there. And the conditions of my life when I got sober were, my prayers and my quiet were about, okay, God, how do I work? How do I miss the bus? Should I quit my job or commit suicide, or should I take the next bus? I mean, these were the questions that I had to ask myself when I was brand new and didn't know how to live and work and be in the world with the people. The questions are different today, but I still have alcoholism. So, all of those conditions, they kind of they show up in my thinking around, what do I do with the abundance that sobriety has gifted me with? What do I do with the big job? And what do I do with the mortgage? And what do I do with these really important relationships? And how do I, how do I parent these precious children that I have parented so imperfectly and, without having any real parenting myself? What did I pass on? What did I pass down? What am I still amending? How do I show up for my parents who, put me out of the house, and how do I make amends and be a good daughter to, parents who on, some days don't deserve it in my mind. And on other days, it's an abundant privilege. How do I approach you and look you in the eye and listen to you and your concerns and your ideas and your thoughts and your feelings without only thinking about how I want to respond so I sound good, or how I can fix your problem. You know what I mean? Like, these are the challenges I have today. I think over the years, from the beginning, in the beginning, it was more, how do I live day to day, moment to moment, paycheck to paycheck? And then when I worked all 12 steps and started sponsoring, I think when I watched the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous work in other people's lives, I had the sense that it was working in my life because I could feel that my life was changing. But when I actually saw the miracle, the lights coming on in somebody's eyes, the I don't really want to pray, I don't really believe in all this stuff, I can't live how I'm living, and so I'm gonna try this God thing. Having people really surrender and then noticing the miracles. I have a sponsee who's just has 9 months and living in an Oxford house, which is a like a sober living house, who lost her kids, her husband, her house, and has had no contact for 9 months. And miraculously, she just got, she got full custody. Not just, I get contact again, but full custody. And she, afterwards, we've been in close contact about all of this. And she said to me, I didn't think this God thing was real, and thank you for, really pushing this God thing, the God thing. And, when that kind of stuff happens, it reaffirms my faith. So again, I'm talking about all the steps because step 11 is a reflection of all that I've learned from doing my inventory and doing my service work. What it looks like, I guess what it looks like today, is I have a dedicated quiet time. I want to know and be known by my higher power. I believe and practice a relationship with a higher power in the same way that if I want to get closer to one of my kids, I got to make lunch dates. If I want to get closer to my, if I really want to know another person, I need to spend time with another person. I can look at you from across the room and I can assess what you look like, and I can make all kinds of judgments about what I think you do for a living and who you are and where you've been and whether you like me or not and whether you're worthy of whatever, how you stack up in my mind of am I better than or worse than, my alcoholic mind. But I'm not going to know until I approach you and I ask you to spend time with me and I tell you a little bit about me, and then I listen to what's going on with you. And honest to goodness, I really approach my higher power in that way. And, the way that I get to know my higher power a little bit better sometimes is through reading It starts with the big book. It starts with all of these ideas about God. Bill was really clear that he wanted us to form a working relationship with essentially a providential God, but it can be a God of our own understanding. He deliberately broke from the Oxford Group so that we didn't have to bend a knee to Jesus Christ of the Oxford Group to be a member of AA, and wrote a whole lot about how we really need to have a God of our own understanding. So finding a God of my understanding is really the first step, and I'm still learning and growing all the time. And so what I do is I read different things, and I believe that it's in the big book. It talks about we have a fundamental, each of us has a fundamental idea of God. It's there. It's just covered up by a whole bunch of stuff. And so my job is to work my program to uncover the stuff that taps down into what that deep down idea is. And I know that I've hit the mark when I read something or hear something, and it can come across in music, it can come across in text, it can come across in an AA meeting, it can come across in working with a sponsee and hearing them say something. It often comes when my sponsor gives me a new idea about something I hear the voice of God, and I know God a little bit more. And I know that working these tools will continue to get me closer. Many years ago, I started practicing a dedicated quiet time. Earlier in sobriety, setting a timer for 5 minutes was like a monumental task. Like 5 minutes was like mind blowing to just be quiet. You know what I mean? To be quiet when we had our 2 breath moment of silence before we say the serenity prayer in a meeting was like miracles. If I could just take a breath and have that moment of silence, right? And then it was a 5 minute, and then it was a 10 minute. So I'm in the 3 decades, I'm in my fourth decade of sobriety. So let me just preface with that before I say that I take a half an hour every day of dedicated quiet time. It's essentially the first thing I do every single day. And I set my alarm to it. I wake up, and if I don't do it right away, I often will have a hard time coming back to it. So I know that about myself through experience. And so I set a timer, and I read things. And every once in a while, I need to listen to something, because when my head is really busy, I need somebody to like pipe in and say, some spiritual things while I sit quietly for that half an hour. But mostly, I really try to feed my mind with a spiritual idea, and there are a few books that I really like to read, and I sit and I breathe in and I breathe out and I breathe in God and I breathe out Julie as best I can with whatever the thought for the day is. I search until I find something that is visual, and that's how I that's me personally, I meet my God with, like, I can envision protection. I can envision surrender. I can envision love. I can envision care. And I believe that in the spiritual realm, it's a principle that whatever we focus on is essentially what I'm going to manifest in my thinking. And so I try to really let go of, darkness and dark thoughts and my negativity, my criticism, my judgment, my fear, so much fear about who I am and where I'm going and what it all means and what you think of me and how I'm stacking up and, all of that. And, I'm ready to live a different way, and I need to re-up every single day that new way, because those thoughts come back. Those thoughts come back. And I will tell you right here and now that some days I feel really, really close to my higher power, and that time goes so fast. I said a little, I have like a little chime that goes off when I'm done, and sometimes I'm like, whoa, where, that was like, that was awesome. And many days I'm like, oh my God, how much time is left? Oh, it's only been 15 minutes. I'm like, how can I make the time go faster? Because I'm busy. I have a full life, and I want to get up and go. And it's those days when I really need to double down and go, okay, God, okay, God. I mean, it's in a reading, and I won't be able to cite it or quote it. And I don't even know if it's an AA reading, but On the days when I don't have time to meditate, I double up. I need to double the time I'm meditating is really the, sort of that idea that, when I have busy brain and want to just go, it means I'm on Julie power and Julie wants to go and I'm not God powered. So I double down, which is why it's important for me to have a set period of time for that, for that, I guess, inspiration. So I take my meditation out into the day with me, and I do essentially what we're asked to do here. I ask for intuitive thoughts and actions. I do relax. I try to take it easy. My life is filled with opportunities to be of service, to think about you instead of thinking about me. And as a result, I'm reminded that when I'm thinking about you, that is a demonstration of God flowing through my life. And I, the more I'm a channel, and the more I'm flowing out that positive energy as a channel, the more, my sponsor said this to me one time. I wish I had written it down because I can't quite get the quote right, and I guess it doesn't need to be quoted perfectly. But at one time, she said, she was like, Julie, when you speak your resentments and when you speak your fears, when we're a channel, when we're a vessel, we retain residue of everything we're flowing through us. And when you're flowing through your fears, when you're flowing through your resentments, when you're flowing through your criticism and your judgment, we retain the residue of that. And when we flow through love, when we just pause and say, God, help me feel love, help me show love, help me demonstrate love, that love is a spiritual principle. Love is a manifestation of my higher power. I can feel love, but love for my neighbor, love for my brother, love for the new alcoholic, love for the difficult person, that is God sent. That is not Julie. That is, that is my higher power. And when I'm flowing through that love, the residuals, the residue, the impact of that is felt in, in my channel. And so today, my life is very imperfect. I am walking through big lifey things. And I'm still here. My feet still know how to get to my home group. My sponsees still call at their appointed times for the most part. I'm always in touch with my sponsor at my appointed time and calling lots of extra when I need. And in that quiet time, that timer is still set every morning. I'm still showing up for that relationship. And I've been through many, many iterations of what life looks like in sobriety, all the moves, marriage, children, different sponsors, different jobs, losing them, gaining them, deaths of friends, losses of people. I mean, all of it. I've grown up here. Everything I do is AA. Everything I have is because of AA. And it's purposeful and meaningful. It's not task driven, but it's God driven when I'm in my 11 step practice squarely and soundly. And for that, I am tremendously grateful. So I think that's a good place to wrap. And so I'm going to end there. Thank you so much.